Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Yeah, that was a nice win. Boy, we all enjoyed that one, didn't we? Royals win 3-2. They even up this four-game series with the Blue Jays at a game apiece. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. If you were one of the more than 11,000 to turn out tonight, you jumped to the front of the line. Let's hear from you, 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's also our text line number if you just want to shoot me a text. 913-586-7610. Yeah, nice win tonight because it had it all. This game had a little bit of everything. What it really didn't have from a Royals perspective is the type of start from the starting pitcher that we're used to. Now, Michael Wacha gave you a chance to win, and the Royals starters have now done so in 23 of the first 24 games. But Wacha doesn't finish five. Base runners everywhere in his 4 1/3 innings. But again, he gave you a chance to win. And this brings me back to something I've talked a lot about dating back to spring training. This rotation with the additions of Wacha and the addition of Seth Lugo and the emergence of Alec Marsh and Cole Reagans, to me, this rotation is going to give you the chance to win 80% of the time. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me say this before. You know, 4 out of every 5 games, I believe this Royals team's going to be in position in the 5th or 6th inning to win the game. Not very often are you going to flip on the game in 3rd inning, they're down 7-0, game over. Now, you and I know that happened quite often over the past half decade. But this year, with the type of stability that this rotation as currently constructed can present, no, you're going to be in 75-80% of the games. And certainly that's been the case to start 2024. But in those 80%, in that 4 out of 5, in those 4 games where the starting pitcher gives you a chance to win, it's my belief that one of those games will be a runaway victory. One of those games will be a tough loss. And then the other two are going to be 50-50 balls. Who's going to go take it? Tonight, in my opinion, was one of those 50-50 games. One of those jump balls. And the Royals took it. Let's give them some credit. They snapped their first losing streak of the season. They get back to 4 games above 500. And they take it. Now, I'm not going to deny the fact that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. opened the door pretty widely in the 5th inning. But someone had to walk through the door and take it, and that's exactly what Mikel Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. did. Mikel, after Vladdy's error in that 5th inning, he singles to center, and on the first pitch to Bobby Witt Jr., he pulls it down the third base foul line inside the bag into left field, scoring 2. And what should have been another scoreless frame from Kevin Gausman, what should have been a 2-0 Toronto lead heading to the 6th inning, becomes a 3-2 Royals lead, and then the bullpen locked it down. The bullpen secured this dub as Chris Stratton throws a 1-2-3 sixth inning. John Schreiber, 1-2-3 in the 7th. And then how about the General? First of all, great nickname. I mean, one of the really, truly great nicknames in Major League Baseball. When it comes to relievers, one of the truly great nicknames. Secondly, one of the truly great current entrance songs. White Horse by Chris Stapleton for your closer. Sign me up. I like it a lot. But what I liked most was the calm, cool, collected nastiness that the 6'6 right-hander brings to that bump. James MacArthur goes through the bottom of the Toronto lineup in the 8th and then just ho-hum, take this Vladdy Jr., go chew on that Bobichet, and give me my fifth save of the season. Royals win 3-2 because they took this victory. That was a nice one. I'm feeling good tonight. How about you, Kansas City? Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. We're going to start off with those that were in attendance. Manny, you were here at Kauffman Stadium. You're heading home. Manny, what'd you think tonight? Manny, do we got you? I don't think we do. All right, well, that was a pretty big build-up for a big old thud. Let's try Adam, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Adam, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, what do you got for me?
Well, I've never been able to see the Royals win this many games. This is the first time that they've had a winning record this I've been able to enjoy.
Well, that's really good to hear. I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Thank you very much. Let's go to Brian, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Brian, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals hold off the Blue Jays and even up the series.
Yes, sir. First off, it's Ryan Nobe. Second off, I just want to say MacArthur's legit, Bobby's legit, and anybody else in that bullpen is legit. We bring them in, and they struggled in the beginning of the season. Ever since they've been locked down, 1-2-3, never felt more confident to have a bullpen right now.
All right. Okay, thank you for the phone call. John Schreiber's been strong since the start of the season, so I'll push back on that. Schreiber scoreless in 11 of his 12 appearances, and I don't care what the box score said. James MacArthur's been filthy since the start. Dive deep into the metrics. They'll tell you just how good he's been. Look at his last seven games. James MacArthur, 8 2/3 scoreless. 8 2/3 scoreless while allowing a grand total of 8 base runners and collecting 5 saves. Thanks for the phone call, Brian. Oh, Ryan. No B. Chase in Prairie Village. Chase, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, my man, me and my boys just got back from the game. What a night. Bobby Witt Jr. went off. I guess the only thing I want now is, like, a decent center fielder, and, you know, let's make it work.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call. Royals win 3-2. The record is now 14-10. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. Your center fielder tonight scored the second run of the game. Kyle Isbell 0-3. Caught everything out there. Can't win. Can't win sometimes. Again, the job, in my opinion, of Kyle Isbell in 2024 is to make every routine play and make a handful of spectacular plays. Play some gold glove defense in center field and then execute, hustle, lay down a bunt, advance a runner, force a tough throw. It's exactly what Isbell's been doing. Look, I understand. It's a play that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. should have made. It wasn't an awful throw from the Blue Jays shortstop, but he had to pick it up because Isbell was busting it down the line. Guys, picking on the nine hitter when you're 14-10 just exposes your, in my opinion, lack of awareness when it comes to this game of baseball. If you were around, and I know a few of the callers that we've already taken weren't around in 2014 and 2015, and you look at the bottom of that lineup in 2015, not even the bottom. Look at the top of the lineup. You had three different positions in which you were punting on offense. One of them was your freaking leadoff hitter. So don't worry. You have a legitimate center fielder. The only thing you're asking Kyle Isbell to do is go get it. And he's done just that. Okay, tonight's game, my friends, was about the defense. You know, when you commit fewer errors than the opposition, you have a 65% chance of winning. Royals, errorless again. The Blue Jays, one error, was backbreaking. The Blue Jays first baseman, case can be made, cost his team the game. Furthermore, Vinny Pasquantino made a gorgeous stretch for the first out in James MacArthur's eighth inning. Now, Bobby made another strong play in the hole, another strong throw across the diamond. But Davis Schneider was going to beat that throw if Vinny doesn't break out the splits and show Vladdy Jr. a thing or two about playing some first base defense. Bobby, Vinny, MJ Melendez stealing a leadoff knock from Kevin Kiermaier in the sixth inning. Big play for Chris Stratton as he comes out for his second inning of work. Defense, base running, you know, Michael Garcia scoring from first on Bobby's double up the line. Defense, base running, and pitching. I don't know how many times I've sat here already over the first 24 games and told you, if this pitching staff can continue to be one of the 5-10 best in the sport, if this defense and team speed continue to showcase an ability that ranks them top five in the sport, you're going to be just fine. I understand what Cleveland's doing. They're red hot. You're going to be just fine. Don't ride the roller coaster with the offense, because there's always going to be someone that is struggling, scuffling, grinding. Pitching, defense, and base running. That's why you won tonight. That's why you're 14-10. And that's why you're feeling good about tomorrow's game with Alec Marsh on the hill. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Jake, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Jake, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. You got me there?
I do. Make sure your radio's turned down, man.
Yeah, we got it turned down. All right. Hey, we're on the way back from the game. I just want to say, man, we're really excited about this team, and I haven't called in, and gosh, it's been almost a decade. But we're so excited. We went all in and bought season tickets about a week ago.
Wow.
And we're really fired up. We've been coming to all the games, and we're out there tonight with our dog and just had a great time. And, like, I really appreciate what you said. They went out there and got that game tonight. And I think that's what it comes down to. They're a gritty team, and I really appreciate it, man. I really like what you're saying, and just wanted to call in to say that.
Well, I appreciate it, Jake. Thanks for the phone call. Way to go. Way to splurge for the fam. Season tickets, bringing the dog. Big, big, big move. Hope to hear from you more often, Jake. Thanks, man. Yeah, Royals took this game. Now, this isn't something where it's, oh, well, you know, those three unearned run, that's why you won the game. No, just because Vladdy missed that throw from IKF, it was still 2-1 Toronto. With two outs, Michael Garcia coming to the dish, and we all know how he was struggling. Michael tonight on base three times, two hits. First time Michael's reached base three times in a game in 3 weeks. And then Bobby steps up with two on and two outs with his team down by one. And he's not sitting around and waiting. He jumps on the first splitter he sees up from Kevin Gausman, rips it down that third baseline for a two-run double. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr. now has 15 extra base hits. 15 of his 31 hits this year have gone for extra bases. But those 15 extra base hits, second most in Major League Baseball behind only Shohei Ohtani. Pretty impressive. Bobby tonight with a three-hit game, his third three-hit game this year. Only Salvi has more. Royals win 3-2. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to, where are we going? Tanner in Kansas City. Tanner, I appreciate you hanging on, buddy. How you doing?
Good, Vern. You got me good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, just a real quick couple things I wanted to put a point on. Man, I am a long life Royals fan, have lived through the losses all the way through everything. Been through it through 14 and 15, was a regular caller, and have went through this last decade of losing. The one thing that I love to hear coming from the people that were around and can see this and can appreciate baseball is to hear you say they went and got this win today. They won this game with defense and bullpen and pitching. It reminds me of the old days back with when Gordon saves a run in the eighth and HGH comes back and knocks it down and just shuts the opposition down. I'm excited to be a Royals fan. I'm excited to see what the future is going to hold. As long as this pitching and defense hold up, I'm all for it. We just need to come up with the new HGH. I really like what Striver's doing. I think he could very well lean into that eighth inning role. And obviously, the general is just lights out. So I'll listen off the air. Vern, love you. Love your show. Please keep Kansas City baseball up and live.
Hey, that's up to the boys, and they're certainly holding up their end of the bargain right now. HDH, of course, is what you're talking about, not HGH. HGH, we're trying to avoid. I don't think you'll ever see an HDH again. Let me just put that out there. You'll see more great relievers and great setup men and great firemen, but I don't know if you'll ever see Herrera, Davis, Holland. Not just I don't know if you'll ever see it in Kansas City. I don't know if you'll ever see it again around Major League Baseball, because now everyone wants that. Now there are teams that see a market inefficiency and maybe I should build my pitching staff from the back end up. But to your point, yeah, James MacArthur is nasty. John Schreiber is whatever you need him to be, the fireman, the setup man. He's not afraid, I'll tell you that. Boy, he is a fearless dude. And then Chris Stratton. I think Stratton is the one you want to set up James MacArthur, but it's a nice trio right now. Throw in the always fearless Angel Zerpa, and that's a nice little four-headed monster you have out there in the bullpen. Speaking of which, you look down in Omaha tonight. Will Klein picks up his third save. He remains perfect on the season. He throws a scoreless ninth inning with a pair of punch-outs. Will Klein, the 6'5", 230-pound 24-year-old with a triple-digit fastball down in Omaha. Now, this kid's thrown in 10 games now this season, and he's yet to give up an earned run. So there are reinforcements. There is depth down in Omaha. But looking at that bullpen right now, we're good. It's a battle of attrition. A long way to go. 138 games to play. You're going to need those guys down in Omaha. But right now, yeah, I'm with you. You feel good with what you're equipped with. I mentioned earlier today there are not better weapons in the sport of baseball than pitching, defense, and team speed. And the Royals are strapped with all three. Let's go to Zach in Lenexa. Zach, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern.
Hey, Zach, what's going on, buddy? Yes, sir.
Hey, longtime listener. Fired up. Go Royals, man. My question for you is, I mean, I don't know if you spoke on this tonight yet or not. I guess my question is the borderline between Matheny bunting too much, and now Coach Q, the go-on contact. Like, it seems like maybe there's some in-between on there, but it seems like the contact play has not worked yet. And obviously, so the bunting was not working for Q. So
I got you, Zach. Thanks for the phone call. Look, yeah, this came up again last night. First of all, I don't know that Matheny bunted too much. Whatever. Yeah, the contact play. Like I said last night, I'm a fan of the contact play so long as you have a heady base runner, someone with some speed on third base. And the Royals did. Adam Frazier's on third with one out. Michael Massey's at the dish, and he hits a little dribbler back to the pitcher. Now, that's you know, unfortunate. That's not what you're looking for. Got to put the ball in play, right? Don't punch out. So Massey did his job, the basics of his job. Don't punch out. Must put that ball in play. He did. Okay, so you don't like the contact play. You're going to advise Adam Frazier to stay right there, right? Okay, so then the pitcher picks up the ball, flips it to the first baseman, and it's man on third with two outs. Instead, Frazier comes home, does a good job of getting caught in a rundown to allow Michael Massey to get in scoring position. So instead of a man in scoring position with two outs, you had a man in scoring position with two outs. I don't see what the problem is. I know it looks weird seeing a guy walk into an out at the dish, but both guys did their job. Massey put the ball in play. Frazier stayed in a rundown to make sure Massey got in scoring position. So I never understand why that's so disliked by so many Royals fans. I would imagine it's by other baseball fans as well, but I don't talk to other baseball fans. I talk with fans as they leave Kauffman Stadium, like Hannah, who was kind enough to call us up. Hannah, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Vern?
Doing great.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm super excited. Every time I go to a game, that's when, like, Bobby Witt Jr. does something special. So I feel like he's my guy. And it was just a great night with the Dogs. But I moved to Kansas City in 2015 when they won the World Series. And I have not felt this kind of hype or buzz about the team since then. And it's very, very exciting. And I just want to say, let's go Royals. And also thank you to the staff tonight. They were great with the Dogs, great with the people. We had a great time as a family.
Hannah, they're my favorite people at Kauffman Stadium. They make the experience for me, someone that works here quite often, and it's nice to hear that they do it for you guys as well. Thank you very much for the phone call. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. That's what I miss when the season ends, are the relationships you make with the ushers, with the ticket takers, the 50-50 guys and gals. A great staff here at Kauffman Stadium, and anybody that's been out here, I'm hoping you've been aware of that. Just over 11,000 made the trek tonight. We'll see what kind of turnout the Royals get tomorrow for Game 3 of this four-game series. Alec Marsh on the hill. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and previous caller mentioned HDH. You know they have that big reunion coming up in a few weeks. The HDH and the 10-year anniversary of that 2014 championship team. Yeah, they're all getting back together coming up in the middle of May. And I have tickets to that whole weekend. Friday when Herrera throws out the first pitch, Saturday with Wade Davis, Sunday with Greg Holland, and you can win whatever tickets you want. You pick the tickets. You can win them tomorrow and every day on the On Deck Show. I'll play our little trivia game. It starts tomorrow at 5:30. So just make sure you set your alarm 1 hour before first pitch. Listen to the On Deck Show on the Odyssey app or 610 Sports Radio. And if you're listening, well, you got a leg up on everybody else. You'll have a pretty good chance of winning those tickets. So make sure you listen each and every day to the On Deck Show here on 610 Sports Radio. All right, let's go to Manny. Manny, let's try this one more, buddy. I know you were at the game tonight. You got the Dogs in the back. How you feeling?
Man, oh my. The Dogs came out, and I'm not talking about the Canines.
Uh-oh.
I feel like 2015, 2014 all over again. I've got a 13-year-old son.
Hello.
who went from zero interest to baseball, who had Mahomes fever, who now has Bobby Witt fever.
Heck
my
yeah.
Kids had a great time, amazing atmosphere for those of us that were in the Dog section. But even then, man, it was just a great night. MJ Melendez coming up with defense. Everybody's already mentioned it, but this team feels like there's something special brewing here. So,
yeah, Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, this team is just insane.
Great job, guys. Look at that. Look at that phone work. Look at that production skill by Pops. Manny, thank you very much for the phone call, bud. I appreciate you dialing us back in. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Royals knock off the Blue Jays 3-2. We've been talking about it, guys. There are a lot of 50-50 games. When you have a pitching staff that is consistently giving you a chance to win, you're going to win your fair share. You're going to lose a few heartbreakers. But there are going to be a lot of games that are the jump ball variety. Who's going to go take it? Well, tonight, the Royals took it. Mikel Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr. took it. And then the bullpen secured it. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Do we have them? Yeah, all right. Let's head inside that Royals clubhouse. Let's talk with the general. James MacArthur, kind enough to dial us up after two scoreless innings, and he picks up his fifth save of the season. James, coming off a three-game losing streak, how nice was this for the clubhouse to go out there and just take one from one of the upper echelon teams in the American League?
It was big time, yeah. Big time for our offense and starters, just sticking it out. We've had a rough little stretch, a couple tough games, but we know how good we are, and tonight was a lot of fun to go out there and win a close game.
How much have you been chomping at the bit? Haven't seen you on the bump in almost a week, and boy, you certainly looked ready to go tonight.
Yeah, no, so that's kind of how it goes sometimes. You'll have your longer breaks, and then, you know, sometimes you'll be out there, it seems like, every single game for a little while. So you just kind of take every day, take the recovery days when you get them, and just stay ready, work on pitching off the mound after catch play every day or whatever you need to do, and stay ready for whenever you get the call down there.
What's your approach when you're going through the heart of a lineup? Do you acknowledge who's standing in the box? Do you look and make eye contact with a Vladdy Jr., with a Bo Bichette, or are they just a faceless dude that's about to feel it?
I think kind of a mixture. I think once I'm going to throw the pitch, it doesn't matter who's in there. I'm just trying to execute. But, you know, the pitching coaches here and everybody do a really good job of preparing us, giving us scouting reports. So I feel like I kind of have a good game plan. And then, you know, we have two really good catchers behind the plate that have really good game plans as well. So you can always rely on them. But, yeah, we come in prepared. We know who's up, who can do damage late, and we do our best to execute good pitches.
James, last time you were nice enough to call up after a win. Bobby made a spectacular play for you. Did it again tonight, but I want to get your thoughts on Vinny Pasquantino, who low-key is playing like one of the best defensive first basemen in the game.
Oh, yeah, I think it's high-key. He's incredible over there. Bobby, too, it seems like he's always making big-time plays for me. I'm a sinker guy, so I do get a lot of ground balls, and everybody in that infield is so talented. Ground ball over to Mikey, Bobby, Massey, whoever it is. Those guys are all so good that gives me confidence out there that they're going to make the plays, and they definitely did tonight.
And what does it feel like as a unit to – look, Michael Wacha gave the team a chance to win. I'm not saying that he pitched poorly, but to pick him up. He was unable to finish that fifth inning, but the bullpen, the defense, and the offense helped him out.
Yeah, I think Chris coming into that game really kind of set the tone for us down there in the pen. Came in, shut that down, and went back out. And you kind of saw that momentum shift for us there when they made that error. But, yeah, Chris did a great job setting the tone, and Schreiber came in after him, so my thought was just, hey, let's keep this thing going. Let's keep this thing close.
You guys got some fearless dudes out there. You, Schreiber, Stratton, Zerpa, the rest of them certainly don't look afraid when you guys are climbing that hill. It was fun to watch tonight, James. Keep it up. We'll see you out there tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
There you go. James MacArthur dialing us up after his boys in blue knock off the Blue Jays by a final count of 3-2. MacArthur picks up his fifth save as he throws two scoreless frames, his first two-inning save of the season. Second career two-inning save following the season finale last year against the New York Yankees. Royals win 3-2. We'll get right back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
3-2, the final score. Royals take game two from the Toronto Blue Jays. And when I say take, I mean they took it. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. makes an error in the fifth inning, but the game wasn't in Kansas City's hands then. They were still trailing 2-1. Someone had to take it. Someone had to make the big play. Had to come through with the big knock. Mikel Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., they do just that. Those two tonight combined to go 5-for-7 with a run scored and two driven in. So Bobby puts the boys up 3-2, and then, as we just spoke with James MacArthur, he and the rest of the hooligans in the bullpen lock it down. Chris Stratton, John Schreiber, and James MacArthur combined for 4 2/3 innings of one-hit relief. Let's go to the phone lines, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Springfield. Talk with Nate. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy. Nate, we got you? I think we lost Nate. All right, well, that opens up a phone line for you. Let's try Landon up in St. Joe. Landon, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals improved to 14-10. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I'm driving back to St. Joe from the game tonight. I really enjoyed it. But one thing I'm noticing is a lot of people talking about the bottom of the lineup and just complaining. But to me, the way that I see it and being there tonight, I really saw them fighting and having efficient at-bats. And isn't that what they're paid to do? I mean, I feel like they're not trying to do too much they shouldn't be, and they're doing exactly what they're asked to do, like you talked about Isbell earlier. Amazing defensively, and he's doing what he has to do. And that's what the bottom of the lineup needs to do. You know, don't do too much. And I feel like the efficient at-bats are going to pay off sometime soon, and if they do more than they're asked to do, that's great. But, I mean, people complain. I think we need to calm down just a little bit and understand that they're doing what they're asked to do, and it'll come through eventually, I feel like. So thanks for the call, or taking the call, Vern. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'll take that call every night, of course. Yes. And the reason why I'm just nodding along to everything that Landon's saying is because of the pitching, the defense, and the base running. Listen, you know, if John Sherman and this front office hadn't gone that extra mile and brought in Michael Wacha to truly solidify this rotation and give you the type of starting staff that's going to give you the opportunity to win 70-80% of your games. Not that you're going to. Not that you're going to win 70-80%, but you'll have the chance to win 70-80%. So, had they not brought in Michael Wacha, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here as calm and cool and collected when talking about the ups and downs of this Royals offense. Now, MJ Melendez, 0-for-4 tonight. MJ's seen his numbers come down significantly. We're seeing Mikel Garcia break out of his elongated slump. Mikel now has a pair of multi-hit games on this homestand alone. But when you have this type of pitching staff, this type of defense, and this much team speed, I don't need very many heroes out of my lineup. What I need is execution. Scratch across, I'll run. I'm not looking for those big, crooked number innings. I'll take them, but like Landon's saying, I don't need them. Happy to have them, but I'm not desperate for him. I'm not desperate for him because the pitching's going to keep you in the game. So it's more times than not going to be a 1-2-run difference. Either you're up by one, you're down by two. So in those nip-and-tuck games, it comes down to execution, advancing the runner. Doing what Michael Massey did. Put the ball in play. Can't punch out. Put the ball in play. Hustle down the line like Kyle Isbell did. Force them to make a good throw. You lollygag it down that first baseline because you didn't sting the ball. Royals probably lose this game. Landon, I appreciate it, man. Good call. 913-586-7610. We go to Brett in Olathe. Brett, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. How are you?
Good. We were at the game tonight. It was awesome. We took our dog. It was a great time. One thing I keep thinking about, though, is in right field, do we hold on to guys like Blanco and Renfro and hope for the best, or do we go get a piece, or do we hope that, like, Drew Waters or someone like Gavin Cross can come up in the future?
Well, in order, I think you stick with Blanco and Renfro for a few more months. And then, yeah, you know, Waters could help out at some point. That depth down in Omaha is going to be tested. Gavin Cross is still probably a couple of years away. And the trade deadline is more than 3 months away. Let's see if this team can maintain through May before we talk about parting with pieces in order to improve the roster. It's funny, and JT, who's working with us tonight, just made mention of it during this previous commercial break. It's wild how much the fan base changes in just 24 hours. Yesterday, we're cutting everybody. Today, we're now looking for pieces to add for a playoff push. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here screaming the same thing I've been screaming since January, which is just maintain through May. I'm not expecting this team to run away with the division, to put itself in playoff position by the end of May. Just remain in the fight. Don't drown in the deep end. Each of the next 14 games are against teams with a 500 record or better. There are 31 games remaining until we reach the end of May. 31 games to see, can they maintain? Of those 31 games, 24 of them are against teams with a 500 record or better. You got Jose Berríos waiting for you on Thursday with his ERA of 0.85. Tarek Skubal might be the front runner for the American League Cy Young Award. You got him breathing down your neck this weekend in Detroit. Oh, and then the Blue Jays again. And then the division-leading Rangers. And then the division-leading Brewers. Let's get through that before we look outside the organization for help. Let's maybe tap into Omaha or believe in the 26 guys that are here right now that have led you to this 14-10 record. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Bobby Witt Jr. hit his team-leading 10th multi-hit game tonight. We'll hear from Bobby and get back to your calls right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's post-game show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Gausman deals, and Bobby will swing it hard by the third baseman down the left field line. Fair ball and into the corner. One run is in. Here comes Garcia around third, and he will score as the throw is cut off. Two-run score on a Bobby Witt Jr. double, and the Royals take the lead. It's 3-2.
The energy, Bobby Witt Jr. delivering the victory. A two-run, two-out double in the fifth inning takes advantage of an error by Blue Jays first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Royals down one following that two-run double from Bobby. They move to in front by one. And that was the final score. Royals 3, Blue Jays 2. Royals collect their fifth comeback win of the season. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals went 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position tonight. But that one was the one you just heard. Bobby winning the game and taking it. The Blue Jays left the door open, left the window open. But someone had to walk through. Michael Garcia did. And then Bobby Witt Jr. followed right behind. And then Chris Stratton, John Schreiber, James MacArthur, and the flexibility of Vinny Pasquantino locked it down. Royals improved to 14-10, fourth best record in the American League. and they still own the fourth best run differential in all of Major League Baseball. We go to the text line. Ben from Lee Summit writes in, Vern, Bobby Witt Jr. is the man. Thanks to my dad who took me to the game tonight for my birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Ben. Sounds like Pops is the man, too. Might want to give him the same love you're giving Bobby Witt Jr. From the 816. Hey, Vern, don't get too excited, because the Royals are still holding on tight to that life preserver, and they're treading water in the deep end. But, Vern, how about Bobby Witt Jr. for MVP? Sure. No doubt. I have to imagine Juan Soto remains the favorite. Josh Naylor's name, Jose Ramirez eventually will start popping up. But right now, looking at the odds on FanDuel, Juan Soto's the favorite, Bobby Witt Jr. right behind him. Juan Soto plus 250 to win the AL MVP, Bobby Witt Jr. plus 450. Then Mike Trout, then Yordan Alvarez, then Gunnar Henderson. If you want to throw in the National League, only Mookie Betts has better odds of winning an MVP this year. Only Mookie Betts and Juan Soto have better odds of winning an MVP as of right now than Bobby Witt Jr., who's still a month and a half away from his 24th birthday. Good luck, American League Central. Good luck. Back to the text line. More love for Bobby Witt Jr. coming in. This from the Rally Mantis. Hey, speaking of Bobby Witt Jr., he joined the great Joel Goldberg on the field after this 3-2 win on Bally Sports Kansas City to talk about that big blow in the fifth inning.
Yeah, you just got to take things pitch by pitch and control what you can control. Just try to put a good swing on a ball, and then whatever happens, happens. So you just got to live in that present moment, be in that moment, and try to succeed in that moment.
Some beautiful defensive plays all around. Tell me what it's like to have this group in the infield back. That was the core last year, and what you're able to do across the diamond.
Yeah, it's great. We got a good group. It's a lot of fun playing defense out there with the pitching staff that we have. It's a lot of fun.
Last thing, James MacArthur has really stepped up. A two-inning save tonight. What do you see from him?
Yeah, he should be out here too, but yeah, it's unbelievable. Like I said, we just try to get to our bullpen's hands, try to get him a lead, and then the rest is history. We'll give some more wins.
There you go. Bobby Witt Jr. following a 3-2 Royals win on the field with Joel Goldberg on Bally Sports Kansas City. Annie Rogers of MLB.com, the great beat writer, took notice pretty early on that all the infielders had the high Sox tonight. Did you pick up on that? Massey, Vinny, Mike Hal, Salvi, Bobby, all of them wearing the high Sox. I'm all for it. I see someone on the text lines asking why Dairon Blanco was in the starting lineup. In my opinion, from what I was able to gather, for the same reasons that these guys probably went to the high Sox. Just looking to send a spark through that lineup, through that dugout, snap this three-game losing streak and get back to the winning ways, and they did just that. Let's go to Edward in Gladstone. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Edward.
Hey, sir, I just wanted to say I've been Royal since 84 when I was born. We got the World Series in 85. But I just want to say it's just always fun. Even if we win or lose, like, going to the game is just fun and it's a blast. And I hope that we just continue to do what we're doing. You know, I'm not rating wins, loss, whatever, but the fun, it's all about the fun and going out there with the scouts and the dog park and all that jazz. So that's all I have to say, yeah. Vern. Know yeah, what I mean, Vern?
I do. Thanks for the phone call. Well, I don't think a lot of people agree with you, to be quite honest. 10,000 yesterday, 11,000 tonight. I would imagine around that number tomorrow and on Thursday. So, Edward, when you wake up tomorrow, you're scrolling through your phone to see who you texted late at night. Why don't you shoot some more text out in the morning and try to get some more people to come out here to Kauffman Stadium. Let them know about the fun and the scouts the dog park. Let them know about it all, man. Let's go back to the text line. Craig from Nixa. Vern, the boys are coming to play every day. This looks like a squad that's going to put together a 20-plus game improvement. Go Royals. Craig, I would... No, I can't disagree. Pitching. Pitching, defense, team speed. Now, they had team speed last year. This is a much better defense than a season ago, right? Salvi's much improved, which continues to baffle all of us. How the 33-year-old just... Well, it shouldn't baffle us. This is why he has his name right in the middle of Cooperstown conversations. Because you're never satisfied. That's what all the greats do. So shouldn't be surprised. But Salvi behind the dish. Vinny at first base. A full season of Michael Massey. Mikel Garcia for a full season at the hot corner. With a full season under his belt. Right? The second full season for Mikel at third base. Hunter Renfro's an improvement in right. Isbell, I think, can vie for a gold glove. And you saw the catch that MJ made tonight in the sixth. You've seen the plays that MJ has made this season out in left field, whether it's with his arm, with his legs, with his jumps. The defense is much improved, and we all understand how improved the rotation is. Royals starting pitchers, through 24 games, have thrown the second most innings in Major League Baseball and still own the fourth best ERA in Major League Baseball. A 3.18 ERA across 136 innings. Back to the text line. Mike from Independence says, Vern, we are done with the deep end. We're heading up to the diving board. Yeah, that's not surprising. After a win, it's always, okay. Vern, how about you shove this maintained stuff where the sun don't shine? We're making plans for October. I would love to do that. If I'm being honest with you, I would love to just, yeah, this team's going to run away with the American League Central. But I can't do that. I'll say this, and I've said it before. If the rotation continues, top five in innings pitched, top five in ERA, if the defense continues to be top five in defensive runs saved and outs above average and whatever other defensive metric you want to dive into, if the base running continues to find itself top five, top ten in Major League Baseball by whatever metric you dive into, they might run away and hide in this division. Yes, and I know what Cleveland's doing. But pitching, defense, team speed, it levels every playing field. I don't care how much money they spent, how deep their roster is. When you can go toe-to-toe on the base paths, defensively and on the mound, you got a chance every single night. And we've seen that thus far as Royals, courtesy of that rotation, have had a chance to win, well, every game, but the starting pitcher has given you a chance to win in 23 of the first 24 games. It's been remarkable. Double J writes in, he's excited to watch Alec Marsh tomorrow. I'm with you. I love watching Marsh. Love watching that dude just brood out there on the mound. That's a guy that looks like he's just always searching for smoke. He's got a little Brady Singer in him, and I love it. You know how I feel about Brady. I've felt this way about Alec Marsh for a while. This guy oozes confidence. Was born to compete. I don't think you'd want to meet him in a dark alley. I don't think I've ever seen Alec Marsh in the clubhouse where he's not dripping sweat. That dude just stays working. Back to the text line. Ryan from Olathe writes in, Vern, it's only April, but the mantra of this team seems pretty clear to me. Take care of business. Vern, they came off a three-game skid. It happens. But how do they respond? Do they drown? like they have in years past? Do they panic? Do they doubt themselves? No, they take care of business. They notch a W. They stay above 500. They stay afloat. Vern, you've stressed not drowning, and this is how you do it. Well said, Ryan. Appreciate you listening. Austin writes in on the text line, Vern, how nice is it to have two players who are must-watch at-bats? When was the last time we had that? 10 years ago? To have Bobby and Salvi is great. Go Royal, sign Austin. Man, I put Vinny in there too. The undeniable Vinny Pasquantino to me is a must-watch. But you're asking the wrong guy that question, Austin. I mean, Adalberto Mondesi to me was a must-watch at-bats. Now, Jorge Soler in 2019 was a must-watch at-bat. Salvi in 2021. Yeah, so I'll say a combination of Mondy and Soler in 19, Mondy and Salvi in 21. 18, 17, yeah, okay, Moose and Salvi maybe in 17. But no, I understand your point. Yeah, I'm with you. Salvi, by the way, has reached base safely in 13 straight games. The great number 13's hitting 340 in that stretch with 7 extra base hits and more walks than strikeouts. Anthony in Blue Springs writes in, Vern, good win tonight. I'm more than satisfied by the start of this season. And I think that manager Matt Quatrero has a Ned Yost-like coolness that rubs off on the team. Blue Jays gave us an opportunity, and these young men took advantage. It was a beautiful win. Thanks, Vern. Signed, Anthony in Blue Springs. Yeah, listen, Ned was Ned. I don't need to go too deep into, you guys remember Ned Yost. He's different than, he's very different than Matt Quatrero. How I think Q is perfect for this team is, I mean, the guy that you hear in post-game press conferences, the guy that you hear before the game with Ryan Lefevre, his ability to immediately move on from a great win, from a great loss, from a great stretch, from an awful stretch. I haven't been around for a long time. Not as certainly Denny, Ryan, and Stu, and Joel, Monty, most of the guys that you listen to. They've been around, they've seen more. But me, I haven't been around many men nor women that have the ability that Q does to turn the page and mean it. Not thinking about yesterday. I think that clubhouse picks up on it. Bobby has picked up on it. Bobby's picked up and ran with it. Vinny, you've heard Vinny in these post-game press conferences, the post-game interviews with Joel on the field. He's talking about, hey, but this one's over, we're on to the next. Vinny has run with it. So if you're ever looking for validation that J.J. Piccolo picked the right guy, Bobby and Vinny are the two young stars of this offense. And they're both running with it. Right, they're both serving as the point guard out there on the field, in the clubhouse, doing what the coach wants you to do, being the coach on the field, in the dugout, in the clubhouse. Salvi's unbelievable. Salvi on a 106-loss team, on a 97-loss team, just coming back from knee surgery, elbow surgery, shoulder surgery, COVID, concussions, foul balls to the neck, to the knee, to the thigh. Salvi shows up the next day, excited, ready to win, not thinking about the loss last night. Salvi's unbelievable. It doesn't matter who the manager is with Salvador Perez. He's going to be that same guy every single day. Now, again, that's not to minimize the coaching staff. Look at the great job that bench coach Paul Hoover, as him and Salvi have teamed up and reworked his receiving behind the dish. And now Salvi ranks near the top of Major League Baseball as far as catching and framing and receiving. Putting himself in position right now to win a, what, sixth Gold Glove? Go to a ninth All-Star game? I see G-Baby writes in. Vern, how many guys have we got going to the All-Star game right now? Well, Bobby and Salvi, no doubt. That's it right now to me. A pitcher certainly has the chance. Brady Singer, Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo. Those guys have the opportunity. James MacArthur will have an opportunity. Now, you keep winning. You guys remember what it does. I mean, Alcides Escobar started an All-Star game. You win, you'll get a brighter spotlight, more notoriety, more attention, more fans, more votes, more awards. And then suddenly you're all going to the Royals Hall of Fame. That's what happened to that 2015 team. That whole team's going to the Hall of Fame. You kidding me? Spike in St. Joe writes in, Vern, after the Royals get on base, they look to the dugout and put their pinky fingers on each side of their nose. Why do they do that? That goes back to a Bad Bunny concert. Salvi bought a suite, took the boys, and apparently Bad Bunny does that when he's taking pictures or posing for stuff. I don't know. I'm not cool. I know Bad Bunny is really cool. And apparently during the concert, he did that little sign. And Mikel Garcia and MJ Melendez looked at one another and were like, that's pretty cool. That could be our extra base hit celebration. And Vinny told me that the rule was whoever collects the first extra base hit of the season gets to choose what we're doing. MJ Melendez ripped a double in the opener, got to second base, looked to the dugout, and put those two pinky fingers on his cheekbone. And now that's what everyone's doing. I mean, Salvi's doing it. I saw Adam Frazier do it. So everyone's on board. There you go, Spike. A few more from the text line before we get out of here. 913-586-7610. Taylor from Prairie Village. Okay, Taylor's the one that wanted to know about Dairon Blanco. I hit on that already. Hayden from Lenexa's loving on the defense, loving on the bullpen, hoping that the Royals win again tomorrow. And then Mike is curious again about the contact play. Mike, I addressed that earlier as well. I know it seems weird watching a guy run into an out between third and home, but even if Adam Frazier stays at third base, it's a man in scoring position with two outs, right? Because the pitcher would have picked the ball up, tossed it to first base, and Michael Massey would have been out. Instead, Frazier got caught in a rundown, allowed Michael Massey to get to second base, and the Royals found themselves man in scoring position with two outs. So, whichever way you look at it, the team had a man in scoring position with two outs. Appreciate you listening. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Now, we're wrapping the show up. I was just giving that phone number to Kevin Kiermaier, just in case he's out there listening or walking by here at Kauffman Stadium. I can't tell you how many people reached out to me about Kevin Kiermaier. Like, over the years, the amount of women that have reached out to me about Kevin Kiermaier. And today was the first time I ever understood why. I ran into Kiermaier as he was coming off that elevator. That's a beautiful man. I got lost in his eyes. So, Kevin, if you're listening, I got a bunch of friends that would love to hit you up. I don't know your situation, but I can pass him along if needed. 913-586-7610. If you don't, well, then buckle up because Alec Marsh has something for you tomorrow. If you're not interested in these Kansas City women, then Alec Marsh has something for you tomorrow. Alec Marsh on the hill for Game 3 of this four-game series with the Jays. He squares off with fellow right-hander Yariel Rodriguez. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Well, that was a fun show. That was a fun game. Always nice to see your team go out there and say, no. No, we're not giving in. We're not easing back into the losing ways. The opportunity is there, and our superstar took it. Bobby, Mikel, Vinny, and that bullpen lead the Royals to a 3-2 win, and a 14-10 record. JT Noah, great job back at the studio. Appreciate your help. Kansas City, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. Take care.
Ball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Gausman deals, and Bobby will swing it hard by the third baseman down the left field line. Fair ball. And into the corner. One run is in. Here comes Garcia around third. And he will score as the throw is cut off. Two runs score on a Bobby Witt Jr. double. And the Royals take the lead. It's 3-2.
The energy, Bobby Witt Jr. delivering the victory. A two-run, two-out double in the fifth inning takes advantage of a error by Blue Jays first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Royals down one following that two-run double from Bobby. They move to in front by one. And that was the final score. Royals 3, Blue Jays 2. Royals collect their fifth comeback win of the season. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals went 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position tonight, but that one was the one you just heard. Bobby winning the game and taking it. The Blue Jays left the door open, left the window open, but someone had to walk through. Michael Garcia did. And then Bobby Witt Jr. followed right behind. And then Chris Stratton, John Schreiber, James MacArthur, and the flexibility of Vinny Pasquantino locked it down. Royals improved to 14-10, fourth best record in the American League, and they still own the fourth best run differential in all of Major League Baseball. We go to the text line. Ben from Lee Summit writes in, Vern, Bobby Witt Jr. is the man. Thanks to my dad who took me to the game tonight for my birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Ben. Sounds like Pops is the man, too. Might want to give him the same love you're giving Bobby Witt Jr. From the 816, hey, Vern, don't get too excited because the Royals are still holding on tight to that life preserver. And they're treading water in the deep end. But, Vern, how about Bobby Witt Jr. for MVP? Sure. No doubt. I have to imagine Juan Soto remains the favorite. Josh Naylor's name, Jose Ramirez eventually will start popping up. But right now, looking at the odds on FanDuel, Juan Soto's the favorite, Bobby Witt Jr. right behind him. Juan Soto plus 250 to win the AL MVP, Bobby Witt Jr. plus 450. Then Mike Trout, then Yordan Alvarez, then Gunnar Henderson. If you want to throw in the National League, only Mookie Betts has better odds of winning an MVP this year. Only Mookie Betts and Juan Soto have better odds of winning an MVP as of right now than Bobby Witt Jr., who's still a month and a half away from his 24th birthday. Good luck, American League Central. Good luck. Back to the text line. More love for Bobby Witt Jr. coming in. This from the Rally Mantis. Hey, speaking of Bobby Witt Jr., he joined the great Joel Goldberg on the field after this 3-2 win on Bally Sports Kansas City to talk about that big blow in the fifth inning.
Yeah, you just got to take things pitch by pitch and control what you can control. Just try to put a good swing on a ball, and then whatever happens, happens. So you just got to live in that present moment, be in that moment, and try to succeed in that moment.
Some beautiful defensive plays all around. Tell me what it's like to have this group in the infield back. That was the core last year and what you're able to do across the diamond.
Yeah, it's great. We got a good group. It's a lot of fun playing defense out there with the pitching staff that we have. It's a lot of fun.
Last thing, James MacArthur has really stepped up. A two-inning save tonight. What do you see from him?
Yeah, he should be out here too, but yeah, it's unbelievable. Like I said, we just try to get to our bullpen's hands, try to get him a lead, and then the rest is history. We'll give some more wins.
There you go. Bobby Witt Jr. following a 3-2 Royals win on the field with Joel Goldberg on Bally Sports Kansas City. Annie Rogers of MLB.com, the great beat writer, took notice pretty early on that all the infielders had the high Sox tonight. Did you pick up on that? Massey, Vinny, Michael, Salvi, Bobby, all of them wearing the high Sox. I'm all for it. I see someone on the text lines asking why Dairon Blanco was in the starting lineup. In my opinion, from what I was able to gather, for the same reasons that these guys probably went to the high Sox. Just looking to send a spark through that lineup, through that dugout, snap this three-game losing streak and get back to the winning ways, and they did just that. Let's go to Edward in Gladstone. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Edward.
Hey, sir, I just wanted to say I've been Royal since 84 when I was born. We got the World Series in 85. But I just want to say it's just always fun. Even if we win or lose, like, going to the game is just fun and it's a blast. And I hope that we just continue to do what we're doing. You know, I'm not rating wins, loss, whatever, but the fun, it's all about the fun and going out there with the scouts and the dog park and all that jazz. So that's all I have to say, yeah. Vern. Know yeah, what I mean, love, Vern?
I do. Thanks for the phone call. Well, I don't think a lot of people agree with you, to be quite honest. 10,000 yesterday, 11,000 tonight. I would imagine around that number tomorrow and on Thursday. So, Edward, when you wake up tomorrow, you're scrolling through your phone to see who you texted late at night. Why don't you shoot some more text out in the morning and try to get some more people to come out here to Kauffman Stadium. Let them know about the fun and the scouts and the dog park. Let them know about it all, man. Let's go back to the text line. Craig from Nixa. Vern, the boys are coming to play every day. This looks like a squad that's going to put together a 20-plus game improvement. Go Royals. Craig, I would... I can't disagree. Pitching, defense, team speed. Now, they had team speed last year. This is a much better defense than a season ago, right? Salvi's much improved, which continues to baffle all of us. How the 33-year-old just... it shouldn't baffle us. This is why he has his name right in the middle of Cooperstown conversations. Because you're never satisfied. That's what all the greats do. So shouldn't be surprised. But Salvi behind the dish. Vinny at first base. A full season of Michael Massey. Michael Garcia for a full season at the hot corner. With a full season under his belt. Right, the second full season for Michael at third base. Hunter Renfro's an improvement in right. Isbell, I think, can vie for a gold glove. And you saw the catch that MJ made tonight in the sixth. You've seen the plays that MJ has made this season out in left field, whether it's with his arm, with his legs, with his jumps. The defense is much improved, and we all understand how improved the rotation is. Royals starting pitchers, through 24 games, have thrown the second most innings in Major League Baseball and still own the fourth best ERA in Major League Baseball. A 3.18 ERA across 136 innings. Back to the text line. Mike from Independence says, Vern, we are done with the deep end. We're heading up to the diving board. Yeah, that's not surprising. After a win, it's always, okay. Vern, how about you shove this maintained stuff where the sun don't shine? We're making plans for October. I would love to do that. If I'm being honest with you, I would love to just, yeah, this team's going to run away with the American League Central. But I can't do that. I'll say this, and I've said it before. If the rotation continues, top five in innings pitched, top five in ERA, if the defense continues to be top five in defensive runs saved and outs above average and whatever other defensive metric you want to dive into, if the base running continues to find itself top five, top 10 in Major League Baseball by whatever metric you dive into, they might run away and hide in this division. Yes, and I know what Cleveland's doing. But pitching, defense, team speed, it levels every playing field. I don't care how much money they spent, how deep their roster is. When you can go toe-to-toe on the base paths, defensively and on the mound, you got a chance every single night. And we've seen that thus far as Royals, courtesy of that rotation, have had a chance to win, well, every game, but the starting pitcher has given you a chance to win in 23 of the first 24 games. It's been remarkable. Double J writes in, he's excited to watch Alec Marsh tomorrow. I'm with you. I love watching Marsh. Love watching that dude just brood out there on the mound. That's a guy that looks like he's just always searching for smoke. He's got a little Brady Singer in him, and I love it. You know how I feel about Brady. I've felt this way about Alec Marsh for a while. This guy oozes confidence. He's born to compete. I don't think you'd want to meet him in a dark alley. I don't think I've ever seen Alec Marsh in the clubhouse where he's not dripping sweat. That dude just stays working. Back to the text line. Ryan from Olathe writes in, Vern, it's only April, but the mantra of this team seems pretty clear to me. Take care of business. Vern, they came off a three-game skid. It happens. But how do they respond? Do they drown like they have in years past? Do they panic? Do they doubt themselves? No, they take care of business. They notch a W. They stay above 500. They stay afloat. Vern, you've stressed not drowning. And this is how you do it. Well said, Ryan. Appreciate you listening. Austin writes in on the text line, Vern, how nice is it to have two players who are must-watch at-bats? When was the last time we had that? 10 years ago? To have Bobby and Salvi is great. Go Royal sign, Austin. Man, I put Vinny in there, too. The undeniable Vinny Pasquantino to me is a must-watch. But you're asking the wrong guy that question, Austin. I mean, Adalberto Mondesi to me was a must-watch at bats. Now, Jorge Soler in 2019 was a must-watch at bat. Salvi in 2021. Yeah, so I'll say a combination of Mondi and Soler in 19, Mondi and Salvi in 21. 18, 17, yeah, okay, Moose and Salvi maybe in 17, but no, I understand your point. Yeah, I'm with you. Salvi, by the way, has reached base safely in 13 straight games. The great number 13's hitting 340 in that stretch with 7 extra base hits and more walks than strikeouts. Anthony in Blue Springs writes in, Vern, good win tonight. I'm more than satisfied by the start of this season. And I think that manager Matt Quatrero has a Ned Yost-like coolness that rubs off on the team. Now, Blue Jays gave us an opportunity, and these young men took advantage. It was a beautiful win. Thanks, Vern. Signed, Anthony in Blue Springs. Yeah, listen. Ned was Ned. You know, I don't need to go too deep into, you guys remember Ned Yost. He's different than, he's very different than Matt Quatrero. How I think Q is perfect for this team is, I mean, the guy that you hear in post-game press conferences, the guy that you hear before the game with Ryan Lefevre, his ability to immediately move on from a great win, from a great loss, from a great stretch, from an awful stretch. Now, I haven't been around for a long time. Now, not as certainly Denny, Ryan, and Stu, and you know Joel, Monty, most of the guys that you listen to. They've been around, they've seen more. But me, I haven't been around many men nor women that have the ability that, that Q does to turn the page and mean it. Not thinking about yesterday. I think that clubhouse picks up on it. You know, Bobby has picked up on it. Bobby's picked up and ran with it. Now, Vinny, you've heard Vinny in these post-game press conferences, the post-game interviews with Joel on the field. He's talking about, hey, but this one's over, we're on to the next. Vinny has run with it. So if you're ever looking for validation that J.J. Piccolo picked the right guy, Bobby and Vinny are the two young stars of this offense. And they're both running with it, right? They're both serving as the point guard out there on the field, in the clubhouse, doing what the coach wants you to do, being the coach on the field, in the dugout, in the clubhouse. You know, Salvi's unbelievable. Salvi on a 106 loss team, on a 97 loss team, just coming back from knee surgery, elbow surgery, shoulder surgery, COVID, concussions, foul balls to the neck, to the knee, to the thigh. Salvi shows up the next day excited, ready to win, not thinking about the loss last night. You know, Salvi's unbelievable. It doesn't matter who the manager is with Salvador Perez. He's going to be that same guy every single day. Now, again, that's not to minimize the coaching staff. Look at the great job that bench coach Paul Hoover has him and Salvi have teamed up and reworked his receiving behind the dish. And now Salvi ranks near the top of Major League Baseball as far as catching and framing and receiving. Putting himself in position right now to win a, what, sixth Gold Glove? Go to a ninth All-Star game? I see G-Baby writes in, Vern, how many guys have we got going to the All-Star game right now? Well, Bobby and Salvi, no doubt. That's it right now to me. A pitcher certainly has the chance. Brady Singer, Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo. Those guys have the opportunity. James MacArthur will have an opportunity. Now, you keep winning. You guys remember what it does. I mean, Alcides Escobar started an All-Star game. You win, you'll get a brighter spotlight, more notoriety, more attention, more fans, more votes, more awards. And then suddenly you're all going to the Royals Hall of Fame. That's what happened to that 2015 team. That whole team's going to the Hall of Fame. You kidding me? Spike in St. Joe writes in, Vern, after the Royals get on base, they look to the dugout and put their pinky fingers on each side of their nose. Why do they do that? That goes back to a Bad Bunny concert. Salvi bought a suite, took the boys, and apparently Bad Bunny does that when he's taking pictures or posing for stuff. I don't know. I'm not cool. I know Bad Bunny's really cool. And apparently during the concert, he did that little sign. And Mikel Garcia and MJ Melendez looked at one another and were like, that's pretty cool. That could be our extra base hit celebration. And Vinny told me that the rule was whoever collects the first extra base hit of the season gets to choose what we're doing. MJ Melendez ripped a double in the opener, got to second base, looked to the dugout, and put those two pinky fingers on his cheekbone. And now that's what everyone's doing. I mean, Salvi's doing it. I saw Adam Frazier do it. So everyone's on board. There you go, Spike. A few more from the text line before we get out of here. 913-586-7610. Taylor from Prairie Village. Okay, Taylor's the one that wanted to know about Dairon Blanco. I hit on that already. Hayden from Lenexa's loving on the defense, loving on the bullpen, hoping that the Royals win again tomorrow. And then Mike is curious again about the contact play. Mike, I addressed that earlier as well. I know it seems weird watching a guy run into an out between third and home, but even if Adam Frazier stays at third base, it's a man in scoring position with two outs, right? Because the pitcher would have picked the ball up, tossed it to first base, and Michael Massey would have been out. Instead, Frazier got caught in a rundown, allowed Michael Massey to get to second base, and the Royals found themselves man in scoring position with two outs. So, whichever way you look at it, the team had a man in scoring position with two outs. Appreciate you listening. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Now, we're wrapping the show up. I was just giving that phone number to Kevin Kiermaier, just in case he's out there listening or walking by here at Kauffman Stadium. I can't tell you how many people reached out to me about Kevin Kiermaier. Like, over the years, the amount of women that have reached out to me about Kevin Kiermaier. And today was the first time I ever understood why. I ran into Kiermaier as he was coming off that elevator. That's a beautiful man. I got lost in his eyes. So, Kevin, if you're listening, I got a bunch of friends that would love to hit you up. I don't know your situation, but I can pass him along. If needed, 913-586-7610. If you don't, well, then buckle up because Alec Marsh has something for you tomorrow. If you're not interested in these Kansas City women, then Alec Marsh has something for you tomorrow. Alec Marsh on the hill for game three of this four-game series with the Jays. He squares off with fellow right-hander Yariel Rodriguez. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Well, that was a fun show. That was a fun game. Always nice to see your team go out there and say, no. No, we're not giving in. We're not easing back into the losing ways. The opportunity is there, and our superstar took it. Bobby, Michael, Vinny, and that bullpen lead the Royals to a 3-2 win and a 14-10 record. JT Noah, great job back at the studio. Appreciate your help. Kansas City, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. Take care.